Welcome to the People, Planet, Profit podcast. I'm Hayley Jarrick, and today I'm joined by Paul Klemenko. Paul's currently the co-CEO of Planet Arct and has worked in fostering sustainability for over 30 years with roles ranging from environmental research and campaigning to socially responsible investment, all with a common aim of helping to make our society more environmentally sustainable. He co-founded Planet Arct in 1992 and became its CEO in 2010. Planet Arct has become one of Australia's most trusted and well-known environmental organisations through highly successful initiatives such as the National Tree Day, Cartridges for Planet Arct Week, National Recycling Week, Recycling Near You, and the Australasian Recycling Label. Paul is one of the instigators of the new Australian Circular Economy Hub, which aims to inspire circular economy thinking in Australia. Today, I've asked Paul to join me to talk about five small things that sustainable businesses should know about making a positive environmental impact, recycling, and the circular economy. So welcome, Paul.
Thanks, Hayley. Thanks for that great intro.
It's always awkward to have someone talk about you, but I think summarising all of your achievements in such a small amount of time is quite difficult. And sometimes it's just about giving that context to people that are working in this space as well. So I know that you've got five things for us, but first of all, maybe give us a bit of a context as to why we should even bother and care about this sort of thing.
Well, without depressing anyone, we're living out of balance with nature, and that is evidenced through all the extreme weather events we're getting now. We've been through the floods. I've just been through some floods in Sydney, bushfires before that, and they're not one in a million year events or one in 100,000. They're becoming one in a decade or two in a decade events. And it's not just climate change. We've got issues with ocean plastics and other pollutants affecting our food supplies, etc. So really what we're doing is we're living out of balance with nature. We have to get back in balance as soon as possible because nature is the thing that provides us our existence. And if the way there's a really good measurement tool called the ecological footprint. And what it basically looks at is what interest is available to us to live our lives and how much natural capital there is. So it's a bit like a bank account. And you think of, well, you want to live off your interest. You don't really want to dig into your capital. But at the moment, we're digging into our capital by about the end of July each year, and it's getting shorter every year. So, and as soon as you start digging into the capital, you start damaging the planet. And we're seeing that damage, you know, whether it's extreme weather events or problems in our with our waterways or ocean plastics, etc. So that's really crucial. But fortunately, caring about our planet has become sustainable business. And what I mean by that is that businesses have realised that they've got an important role in restoring that balance and have put sustainability right at the top of their level. And I'll give you a simple example. 30-odd years ago when we started, we found one environmental manager in the whole of Australia. One. That was it. We found the first one. And now you would have, in working in corporates, you would have tens of thousands of sustainability professionals. So that shows you the snapshot of, in Australia, how quickly, the change that's occurred. And, being a smaller business, it's always tougher. And the things that we're going to talk about today are things that we do. And Planet Arct is a small business. We're only about $4 to $5 million worth of turnover. We're about 30-odd staff. We're a not-for-profit, so we don't have a lot of spare capital or cash to splash around. So we're doing the things to minimise our impact on the planet, as well as obviously the campaigns and information services we run. So I'm going to give you practical things that often have saved ourselves money because we've looked at things. Do we really need that? Can we get it secondhand? Can we lease it, and not have the cost of hanging out that income, capital, so we can reinvest it in the business? So that's I'm just going to give you a couple other things that are going to be driving or are driving business. And we're seeing it definitely at the big end of town, but that, as we know, everything that happens at the big end of town eventually filters down to the small to medium enterprises. And that is that ESG investment, that's environmental, social and governance investment, is driving huge change around the world. It's estimated to be already a quarter of the world's assets under management. And in Australia, there's some estimates it's even higher, around the 30 to 40%. And that in those investors, those pension funds, institutions, they want to put their money, and they're expecting the companies that they invest in to actually take those three principles into account. So everything from sustainability to diversity to no dodgy brothers involved in the running the business are absolutely crucial to these ESG investors. And we're seeing it amongst the corporates we deal with all the time, that the impact of that. And the second thing is in relation to that is that it's part of your social license to operate. You know, if you think of what's happening with the fossil fuel industry, it's losing its social license to operate. And so people don't want to invest in it. They want to divest in it. They don't want people are protesting about its existence even. And that can happen to lots of other industries if they don't actually maintain their social license. And remember, having a good social license helps you attract and keep staff, because where does your staff come from? It comes from society. You know, so you think of the people when's the last time you've heard of someone saying they wanted to work for a cigarette company, for example, or a coal company? No, that's that they're losing their ability to even have people that want to work for them.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's, you're right, that's spot on. And I think that this year, everyone sort of called it like the year of the great resignation, as people really start to sit back and think about where they're working, the purpose of the organization that they're working for. And when you are trading your time for money, then are you doing it for an organization that's making a worthwhile contribution to the world? So I think you're spot on. If you're going to maintain that talent pool, this is something you've definitely got to keep your money on the ball with. So with that being in mind, and we're all prone, and let's just say at this point, everyone listening is on board and the choir is listening. What are the five things that they need to listen about?
Okay. Well, with climate change being the greatest environmental challenge we face, the first thing is to reduce your climate impact by becoming carbon neutral. Some people call it carbon zero, et cetera. But really what it boils down to is that on an overall balance, you're going to not emit more carbon in your operations than what can be sequestered by nature. And that's how the carbon cycle works. You probably remember going to school and doing your biology. It's a cycle. And what we've got is a cycle that's out of balance. We're putting too much carbon into the atmosphere and it's overwhelming the amount that can be naturally absorbed. And that natural absorption happens through trees. It happens in our plants growing and trees, and also in our oceans. So that's normal, but we're out of balance right now. So by becoming carbon neutral, and you can actually be certified to be carbon neutral. So Planet Ark some years ago decided to become carbon neutral under the federal government's Climate Active Scheme. And it's not that hard a process. I mean, it basically involves working out what is your carbon footprint and then working on ways to reduce it. And there's lots of ways you can do that. For example, you can buy green power, which is certified renewable energy, for example. Then after you've worked out what's the best way you can minimize your carbon footprint, then you offset the balance with certified offsets. And they could be, again, buying offsets that have been generated from a wind farm, or they could be offsets that have been generated from carbon farming from an indigenous carbon farming project in the Northern Territory. The reason I mentioned that one is because we actually put to our staff what they'd like to up for us to invest our carbon offsets in. So we give them a budget. We're not filthy rich. We give them a budget of of what they can spend on these carbon offsets. And then they vote collectively as a group to determine them. So some of those offsets have got even social and other benefits, as the one I just described in the Northern Territory. So that's basically how you become carbon neutral. And by being certified, you become part of a club. And those suppliers often are preferred. So I know, for example, the Sydney Opera House is a carbon neutral venue. We used it for the launch of our Australian Circular Economy Hub, one of the reasons why we picked the place. So they got business from us, and they prefer, in their suppliers, they prefer people that are carbon neutral, like the catering services. So you can see it's a virtuous circle. And that pool of companies and organisations is growing every day. So that's a great thing to see. So that's, I think, number one in anyone's list. The next one is make better use of the waste you generate. So you think of waste that we generate, we tend to think of it as rubbish. Well, no, it's not. It's secondary materials, it's resources. And by learning better how to recycle, how to repurpose it. It's about, well, I've got some secondhand furniture. What can I do with it, for example? So we've got a service called business recycling. And that's actually the perfect place to go to learn how to recycle better, to how make repurpose, to even find out things about product stewardship schemes where you could get some money for the materials that you've got, such as your drink bottles and packages. So, and there's lots of information on others, you know, even things that aren't curbside related, things like how to get rid of through product stewardship schemes, such as batteries. We've got cartridges of Planet Ark, batteries of Planet Ark, for example, mattresses, the whole range of things. So that's really a useful tool, and you'll find lots of behavior change stuff where you can help your get your staff on board, etc. And again, just remember, people don't like to leave their morals and their principles behind when they go to work. So if they're really good at recycling at home, they'd like to see those same services available at work. So that's what we've often found as a behavior change thing, is that it makes people realize that this organization is dead serious about becoming more sustainable. So the next one is about how do you buy the materials and services that you use to run your business? How can you make them more sustainable? Some people call it green procurement, sustainable procurement. They pretty much mean the same. But look at what you buy and look to see if it's sustainably sourced. Is it carbon neutral? Is it coming from an organization that selling it to you that is carbon neutral? It could even be a cleaning service that's carbon neutral. And are they using plant-based biodegradable cleaning products? So there's some of the things. And again, we've got information on the Planet Ark website. There's some really good government government handbooks on these sorts of things as well. It's not as hard as it looks, but it does, you know, you just have to do a bit of research. And as I said, there's lots of, and you guys are obviously very good at this as well. You're educating people on sustainable supply chain procurement. So your website is full of that material. So the next one is a bit more conceptual, but it's about introducing circular economy thinking into your business. And so a lot of people think, well, what's a circular economy? Well, the easiest way is to say it's the opposite of what we've got now, which is a linear economy, where we extract resources, we make it, and then we throw it away, and often in a hole in the ground, and sometimes it ends up in the ocean. Not a very sensible system when you look at it. And it's not sustainable. So a circular economy is where we're going to minimize the resources we take from nature by making sure we retain them in our economy as long as possible. So, for example, all metals that we extract from the ground, they're infinitely recyclable. So any bit of metal that ends up in a landfill is really a crime, because we spend an awful lot of effort. It's an economic crime, I should say, because we spend an awful lot of effort digging it up, processing it, etc., a lot of energy and turning it into that metal. And then for it to end up in the ground again is crazy. Just makes no sense whatsoever. So, and in that circular economy thinking, sometimes you'll be thinking about how can I deliver my service in a different way, my product or service. And one of the techniques is what's called product as a service. And a simple example I can give you is Chet pallets, which actually started the company started the year I was born, 1958. So it's been doing it for a long time. And so when you subscribe to Chet pallets, you don't get to own them. It's a rental system, and you get to use X amount of them a month, and they get moved around the world or around the country, and they can't keep coming back through the system. And when they're a bit damaged, CHEP go and take them out of the system, repair them, etc. And if they're not repairable, they'll go and recycle the material. So again, you've got all that waste management, resource recovery, all built into the system in the price of the system that you're paying for. So that's a really good example of product as a service, but there's lots of other examples. Again, in the Australian Circular Economy Hub, which I'm going to give a plug for now, website, acehub.org.au, has lots of those examples. And the final thing I'd like to for the listeners to think about is how they can give back to the planet. So, again, you're operating a very green business, but there are organisations like Planet Ark, who are not-for-profits, who are trying to drive this awareness and change amongst lots of different organisations. And we don't have a business to generate income off. We're relying on other businesses to support us. So by donating a percentage of profits or of sales, people could do it through 1% for the planet, or donate direct to the organisation. They get a tax deduction for that. For example, Planet Ark is a tax-deductible entity. But more importantly, they're helping organisations like Planet Ark drive those changes amongst the wider community as well. So that's really my top five things.
Yeah, and I think that's really good that you've rounded that out like that. I think most people don't appreciate that, these some not-for-profits don't mean that they've got no expenses. It means that they just don't make any profits out of all the income that they've come in with.
Exactly.
So basically you sort of guarantee that the income that's coming in, they're spending it on doing the things that that organisation is set up for, which, you know, then naturally step two of the more money you get, the more the
good
more
work
expenses
you can do.
You can spend, the better, the more things that you can do. So if you've, and I think it's a great way to align. If you're looking for something really simple as a small business, you don't think that you can, you know, there's only so much space I can plant trees in for National Tree Day, or if I'm recycling everything that's coming in, what can I do next? It's a great way of just really scaling up your business and saying, you know, for everything you buy from me, I'm going to donate funds to a really reputable organization like Planet Ark, and then keeping those values aligned with what you're doing is a great way to move through there. And I think as well, you touched on that last point. For me, it resonates really keenly with, you know, carbon neutral is all about not doing bad, but giving back actually means let's do some good, you know. And you're right, we have been tapping into that capital for so many years. You know, we need to stop the hemorrhaging, but then we need to get that transfusion back in to try and repair all of the damage that has been done as we've been tapping into that over the years. So if you are in a position as a small business, I always like the mobility of small businesses and how you are able to be quick and react in that space. So I think that it's the small and medium businesses of Australia that are really going to step up and not only stop polluting, but also start regenerating and being those positive businesses back through the community as well. And so I think they're going to really sort of take over a lot of the large corporates that just take a bit longer to change tack. Steering those big ships is hard sometimes. And you get much more agility on all of those little ones.
So, very much so.
So thank you so much, Paul. I think there's five great tips for all of those busily thinking, how am I going to get all those links? Don't panic. We'll put them all up on the school's website as it's linked through to the podcast as well, so we can get through and just helping people to guide through all of those tips that you shared with us today. So thanks so much, Paul.
You're welcome, Hayley. It was a pleasure.
And thank you, everybody, for joining us on the People, Planet, Profit podcast. Until the next episode, bye.